So good afternoon, everybody. Well, I'm supposed to speak about integrated water management, which is a challenging point, because speaking of water means to speak of many aspects which are related to water, and it is very much linked to what we call today sustainability. Sustainability means what, and that is what one of the crucial points. Most of the time when we speak of sustainability, we'll have one angle. If you are on the social side, you will speak of social sustainability. If you are on the technical side, you will speak of course, technical sustainability. And if you speak of the economical side, you will speak of economical sustainability and so on. And the ecological sustainability, of course, is a very important issue. But at the end of the day, when you start to try to address what is sustainability, it is trying to cover all these elements, and there is others. And where is the node? Where is the point where it may or not work? It is at human level. There is a very critical point. It is how do you change behavior in people? Because if you want to reach sustainability, if we speak of sustainability today, it's because somehow there is an evolution through time where manhood has changed its behavior towards nature, towards the way we relate to our surrounding, which has totally changed the pattern, and we are not so much connected. So we have to change in our behavior, which is extremely challenging. But that is the key. And of course, water is very much based on cycle. So we have automatically to address how do we maintain a lively, healthy cycle in all these things. Okay, let's start to go through. I choose to go through something which is related to our direct vicinity. It means Kalu Valley watershed. It's an area which is covering about 1,300 square kilometers with a total population of about 1.5 million people. So basically, we are in India, you know that, I suppose, so far. Nobody is lost here, we are still in India. So we are in the South India, and we are in Tamil Nadu. And we go through this presentation. It is of interest because it is very much representative of the general pattern we will observe not only locally, where we have a lot of informations, where we know quite well what was the situation years ago, what it is today, and how it has evolved, and what may be the tendency in the future, according to various scenarios. But we know also that it is very much representative of all coastal Tamil Nadu and for many other areas of India. So as such, whatever happened there, it's a kind of micro model of a large part of India, and therefore of a large part of concerned populations, whatever means population. So we are working in this particular context where we have Pondicherry, which is somehow the nodal city of this area, Auroville being just nearby with this green circle. I don't know if you can see it nicely. Is it possible to adjust the light? No? Okay, fine. And then we are also in a kind of interesting context because we are just at the frontier between two states. Somehow Pondicherry is something which is directly run by the central government, but it's a territory with a kind of defined identity. And all around, and even through the territory of Pondicherry, it is Tamil Nadu. And you may know, or not, but if you don't know, I will tell you, that water is owned by states in India, not by the central government, but by the states, which means a lot of issues arise in India because of to whom belongs the water. Is the water belonging to the place where the rain falls, or is the water belonging to where the users are? So as such, it is very interesting because conflicts which are emerging everywhere in the planet about the right on water is very much present in the context of India. And at our very local level, at a very symbolic level, let's say, we are facing exactly the same situation, an interface between two states, to whom belongs the water flowing through the country. Next. So it is, I say next, but I am the one to manipulate. They have to do everything in this place. I mean. So we have a typical situation of where are the issues in coastal India, which is, of course, one of the very critical points. It is the population pressure with whatever development is coming around this development, around the growth of the population. Destruction of mangroves is of importance in terms of ecology. Wastewater disposal, okay, you know that very few places, it is not the subject right now. People will talk about that later, but definitively wastewater is an issue because it is polluting inland soil, it is polluting inland land, but also inland water and seawater, coastal areas, etc. Increasing urbanization, which is generating a lot of side issues, solid waste disposal, coastal construction with erosions which are related to that, natural disasters, that is something which may not be directly related to human development, but still have a very strong impact on human activities, and impact of ports in certain cases. In our cases, we have problems related to developments of harbors and things like that, and coastal erosion. So that is a kind of schematic view of what are the issues related to water and human activities. You know, what is interesting is that in India, we are facing something a bit specific in the sense that we observe major change happening in a very short time. Most of the time, the situation which are somehow summarized in this picture, which is extraction of groundwater for whatever usage, then development of rural activities, development of urban activities with all kind of impact on the environment. Here I speak of water, there is also other impacts, other aspects of environment. This is something which is observable in a very short period of time. I mean, we observe major changes which have occurred within only 20 years. So it is something that everyone can observe and from there learn a lot of things. So basically, a lot of activities are developing around human settlements, around human activities which have an impact on the environment. And from this point of view, I'm not saying it is the only one, you may very well conclude that certain aspects of the human developments are as such generating difficulties, and the way we are able today to respond to these difficulties are not fitting with the way development is going on. So how to adjust the trend of development and the way we respond to this development. That is definitively a key issue. I know that several of you are concerned about development, about urbanization, about architecture, about whatever large-scale economical activities, and how to fit these developments, which are anyway necessary, with something which is fitting with an healthy environment. So, in our local context, I was speaking of Pondicherry, which is a key city of the area, and around this city, we have a lot of things which are somehow benchmark of the area, which are, for example, here we have a large swamp, which is about 70 square kilometers, with a lot of activities, natural and human-made activities going on, with negative and positive impact. We have a lot of things going on the coastal zone with erosions, which is relatively new, but ongoing. We have a lot of places where dumping of solid waste is going on, dumping of unprocessed wastewater is going on, uncontrolled industrial waste is disposed in various ways, etc. A lot of things are going on which are not properly maintained, properly controlled, with a lot of impact on degradation on the environment. So that is a kind of general situation, nothing very specific to this zone again. I'm just using it as an example of something that most of you may observe elsewhere. So that is, we are basically in a rural system. At least originally it was a rural system, it is changing very fast toward urbanizations. But because of this origin, we observe lands which are mainly composed of lands of infrastructure which are related to agricultural activities. So these things have, of course, an history, and that is also where we can speak about sustainability. It is a cultural sustainability, how things are changing, how things which were valid in the past, whatever we mean by the past, are still valid today and may or not be valid in the future. So, and definitively, all these aspects of degradations or changes, it is not only degradations, it is changes, have to be addressed by the population, are faced by the population, have to be addressed by the population. So what are the tools given to the population to address these changes? That is definitively an aspect that we have to think about. So another side issues, you know that this area have been badly affected by the tsunami, and it has produced major changes in the sense that the population living along the coast, again, here I'm speaking of a stretch of about 30 kilometers, you can multiply it by 10 or by 15 or by 20, you will have exactly the same scenario. Most of the villages which are living in the coastal line have been for centuries depending on fresh water which were developing in the dune, in the sand beaches which are present there. And after the tsunami, within a very short period, a few minutes in fact, there was massive salt water intrusion, seawater intrusion in the system, which turned the entire system from fresh water, relatively fresh water, towards saline water. So suddenly there was a kind of awakening to both the population and the authority to say, okay, how do we face this problem? There is a massive shortage of fresh water to the population. And the first reaction was to say, okay, look, we have a shortage of fresh water, but it is just because of a few minutes of seawater. Let's wait a couple of months. It will go back to absolutely standard solution. So standard situation, which is not the case. In fact, the salinity, which have intruded in the system, accumulate in this very shallow dune aquifer, which is only a few meters thick. And each monsoon, the salt gets dissolved again, and the salinity rises again. And this, we know, will be the case for several years to go, which means you cannot just say, okay, let's find a solution for a couple of months. We have to bring changes on the long run. And let's look at another scale here. I'm speaking of the territory of Pondicherry and whatever is around. We observe a similar phenomena, not at all related to the tsunami, but related to another phenomena, to other things. Since we have looked at the historical data about fresh surface water and groundwater since a very long time, you know that until a very recent period, no groundwater, or hardly any groundwater, was used in this area, simply because people were not equipped to extract groundwater. The Green Revolution started in the 1560s, 1950, 1960s, and later on, there was a very strong push to go towards the Green Revolution. One of the side aspects of the Green Revolution, there is others, it was to give free electricity, more or less free electricity, to the farmers. So the farmers start to equip themselves with motorized pumps and to develop bore wells to extract groundwater. You see the things, it is official data, it is coming from the government of Pondicherry. There's nothing, it is absolutely public information. You can see how the groundwater have dropped from something close to the ground to minus 50 meters within a very short period of time. So what is in such a case, the situation we face, and how can we address such quick, massive changes at the scale we speak about? Again, here I speak of 1,500 square kilometers, multiplied by 500, you have something valid, still. Okay, in terms of space, in terms of size, it will be exactly the same scenario in many, many places elsewhere that around Pondicherry. So that's the kind of things we have to address. Then, we have a kind of sprawling urban development, which is very interesting to observe because it is changing totally what we know of the situation. I will speak of ourselves. For years and years, Auroville was absolutely working in line of we are in a countryside, okay? We are in a rural area. So let's work in a rural area and let's try to consolidate, to develop, to improve the situation. Keeping in mind that we are in rural area, but in fact, we are less and less in a rural area. We have a very fast changing scenario where urbanization is going on at a very, very quick rate. And for example, all the coastal line here is developing in a urbanized way, and we have other axes of development for urbanization which are going on, which means the way we look, and that is part of sustainability, no? How do you project the future? How do you understand the situation? How do you analyze it? And how, out of that, you will come with solutions which are fitting with the reality. It means you will come with scenario today, which may most probably be totally off in the near future. And that is the difficulty of that. You may very well imagine that the impact of urbanization is very different in terms of water resources, that whatever happened in a rural area. So keeping in mind that in this sector, it is rural, the fresh water consumption was at 92 or 95% for rural activities, agriculture. Okay, it means the consumption for urban activities and for industries was absolutely minor in the entire scenario. Now, if you have this trend of evolution, it will change totally the figures, both in terms of consumption, but also in terms of impact on the resources. You have certain impact related to agriculture, to industrial agriculture, for example, which are related to usage of pesticides, to usage of fertilizers, which are of a certain nature. You have impacts related to urbanizations, like all kind of waste disposal, all kind of petrol subproduct, which are generated in many places, which are there in case of urbanization. So the way you address the problem is very different. So when you speak of sustainability versus integrated sustainable water management at this scale, you can also narrow it down to a very limited scale. It is how do you develop a solution which will fit for today, but will be adaptable for tomorrow. That is really the key point. It is not only a matter of bringing technical solutions which fit with today. It is to be able to imagine that things will evolve and may change drastically. The scenario that we understand today may be very different than the scenario we observe tomorrow. So, and the solutions we develop today may not, should not, must not be a constraint for tomorrow. Otherwise, it means you waste a lot of things and you may even create adverse conditions out of goodwill. So how to go towards a beneficial circle? That is definitively a point which has to be understood when you look at developments. So you can see that looking at this map, you have some key points which are really critical. Again, you can observe it in many places in India. And, just extrapolate from your place and you will see that there is things fitting everywhere. You have this natural feature, you have artificially made but historical structures like irrigation structure. The places around us is part of a very complex irrigation system in terms of irrigation, which have been developed since 1,000 years and more, where people were developing irrigation tanks which are interconnected and able to irrigate very large areas out of that. Most of these tanks are not functioning anymore. They are insulted and they are not maintained properly. Why? There is many reasons, historical, political, also linked to the British era and etc. But basically, today, it is because people have access to water in a much more easy way. It is groundwater. You press the button, you have water. Okay, so what is the point? Why do you bother about keeping the water at the surface? So, but of course, this water has a very serious impact. How do you replenish your aquifer at the end of the day? You need to replenish it, otherwise you suck the resources, but at the end there is no water. Oh, we are speaking of a limited resource. Who is aware of that? Who in the population is aware that groundwater is not an unlimited resource? Very few people. At a point, people, the government, the authority, whomever, said, okay, you want to have groundwater, drill a hole, put a pump, suck the water. What the hell? You don't have water, drill deeper. You don't have sufficient water, put a bigger pump. Don't bother with that. Okay? So, now the situation is that the water has collapsed. And the result of this collapsing of the groundwater is that in most of this area, we have the area of Kedalar, which is about 20 kilometers north, and about 30 kilometers south, we observe massive seawater intrusion going on, and major risk of even much important seawater intrusion in the system. You may know that seawater intrusion is a phenomenon which is extremely difficult to reverse once it occurs. You cannot easily put back an unhealthy system in an unhealthy system. When you have a degraded situation like that, it becomes extremely difficult to go against that. Now, we will not say, nobody in the world will say to the entire population around Pondicherry, stop to pump water, okay? Well, at least no politician will do that because he will lose his post. So that is very clear. So to change the scenario means to go to major changes, that is clear, but also to understand how you can bring solutions which are fitting with the needs of the people. Otherwise, it means we will go straight away towards a social havoc. Nobody wants to have a social havoc. So what is the impact of this urbanization, going on urbanization? We observe in this sector, it is a small part, it's about one tenth of the total area I was speaking about, we observe that there is a major change of activities. A lot of lands have been just not used anymore for agriculture since a while. Now, what is interesting is that for the same area, we observe a very major increase of water consumption. It means less land irrigated, but with much more water. So it is strange. No? We observe very contradictory information. And you can see, you know, the drop of cultivated land, it is minus nearly 30%. It is really a major decrease in the cultivated land. And these things, again, you can observe it in many places. In many places in India, we observe the same phenomena. Now, imagine you have a city like Pondicherry, which is with a suburb about 700,000 people, 7 lakhs people, something like that. This population, how do you feed the population there? What is the impact, what is the demand, the resource demand of a city on the surrounding? What is the scale, the diameter of the impact of a city on the surrounding? It is something which is very interesting. No? You may have the same question for an industry, you may have the same question for anything. No? Basically, from a resource point of view, this is a very highly sucking point. No? You need a lot of water, you need a lot of materials, you need a lot of things. And of course, you have other products which are coming out of a city. But from the resource point of view, you suck a lot of resources in a city. How do you feed the people there? With lands which are less and less cultivated. We are bringing resources which are coming from more and more far away for many reasons. One of them is that cultivated land, in terms of total area, are reducing. Which means, if you want to start to speak about integrated, sustainable water management as a resource, you need water to grow food, you need water to do this, and et cetera, et cetera. All the loops. You will have to change of scale. No, I was speaking of 1,500 square kilometers. Now, today, you may have 15% of the food coming from 500 kilometers away. We are far off the scale I was speaking before. Okay, that is the kind of scenario and difficulty we have to address when we want to speak of integration, sustainability, how people are aware of the situation. I do not mean that we have to come back to the past. I'm just saying what is the scale factors related to the change of behavior of the society. So, and the result is that, okay, now we have to feed people with a certain quantity of fresh water. That is one element among a lot of others. And what is interesting is that in this area, we have about 46 liters which are fed for everyone, which is somehow okay if you compare to other zones, with a massive part which is just wasted, which means a lot of public resources which are going nowhere. But if you look at the total consumption, you have only less than 1% of the total extraction which is used for domestic purpose. So where is the balance and what is the impact? Now, what is interesting also is that this population is generating a lot of wastewater. These wastewater are, as such, potential health hazard. So you have to address somehow linked to this minor consumption, looking at the total consumption, you have to address a lot of side issues. Public health is definitely linked to this 1% consumption. Okay? And the effort to address this problem is at a much larger scale than this 1%, because it has a lot of side issues. Okay, so what are the basic recommendations when you want to address changes in this kind of context? Of course, it may change according to the context, but basically, it is addressing a lot of points. You have to be able to address what means to deal with resources. And to deal with resources, it is a human factor I was speaking in the loop of sustainability. It means to bring people, representation of the government, but also of the population, whatever the government, but also stakeholders, whatever they are, industries, corporates, whatever is there in the surrounding, bring people together to speak about the situation and to have a transparent transfer of information. If people are not aware of the situation, you cannot blame anyone about the degradation. Who is responsible at the end if when you press the button, you are just emptying a limited stock of resources? You press your button, there is water. At the end of the day, one day, there is no water. There is only saline water. If you are not informed about that, who is to be blamed? You don't know. So information has to circulate. And it's very critical that it goes through the entire range of the population, keeping in mind that in rural area mainly, but that is also true in urban areas, people are not aware that we are depending on limited resources. Just you go to the village, you ask to the people, most of them believe that the groundwater is like an unlimited mass of water. You can suck whatever quantity, there will be water forever. That is not the case. And I mean, I'm speaking of village people, but I can tell you it is the same in the government. Even high range people have a very limited knowledge of how groundwater is constituted, how surface water is constituted, and what is the interlink between human activity, surface water, and groundwater. It is very badly understood. It is a bit mystic, no? Bon, okay. So now, it means also to work on concepts like urban watershed management. It is something which is difficult to understand because most of the time, when we speak of watershed management, we speak of rural watershed management, which is linked to lands, to landscape, to forest, to this kind of thing, or traditional structures and so on. But in fact, within a city, there is a lot of things happening. And the more we develop a city, the more there is impervious area, the more there is impervious area, the more there is runoff, and the more also there is risk of pollution and contamination. So how to somehow integrate the way we deal with natural resources in a human-made artificial environment. That is challenging. So, so of course, you have to go through a lot of awareness on education. That is very interesting to see how the population reacts when you start to go through awareness with the public, with the children. You go to the children, you go to the school and start to have a nice program about how water works and so on, and immediately, within a few weeks, you start to observe a change in the behavior of the entire population. But it means to start there and to responsibilize the people about what is going on, to give really key to the children about, okay, that is the reality of today. Forget about what was the past. They have no access to that. You cannot change it. But you can change it is today. But for that, they need to have information. And that is true for anyone. I mean, education is not something limited to school. Huh? Of course, you have also, I mean, it is very also interesting to know that the problems we face in any area of India or in many places are exactly the same we observe elsewhere. There is a mechanism in terms of natural resources, which are state structure, then you have stakeholders, then you have social structures, then you have the physical reality, then you have the way the people are using the water, the mechanism behind, you have the energy demand which is related to that, and the distribution system, and so on, and so on. This kind of very complex interweaved structure, which are there. But somehow, at the end of the day, you need to change the pattern of behavior. And what is very interesting is that when you meet people at international level dealing with water resource management at a certain scale, they are all somehow stuck with addressing communication. Okay? Who is responsible and how do you change the behavior? Most of them will be just blocked with issues related to who is deciding about what. So you have to change the pattern, but you have to change the pattern in a context which is difficult to address because of the mechanism which is behind. Something is there which is administrative in structure, but where you have something to change which is very much linked to the life, today life of people, of the population. So that is challenging. I say that because I participated to several international seminars on water resources, where you have people from UN or so, which are asking to these experts to come with solutions about sustainable watershed management. And they are all stuck because they are not able to address this point. They are just addressing communication issues with stakeholders, nothing more. Solutions are not yet easy to find. So in our context, we observe, as I said, a massive drawback of a massive collapse of the groundwater resources. And we observe also problems of pollutions, which are developing everywhere, either land-wise or at very particular points. So there is many things which can be done. Like, definitively, we have to fight against seawater intrusion. As I said, to fight seawater intrusion means to change the way we use groundwater. Two aspects. One, Is it possible to reduce the water consumption back to an LC situation? In our area, the groundwater consumption is about 20 times the groundwater extraction. It's about 20 times the natural recharge. Okay? 20 times. So naturally, when you put 20 liters, 1 liter in the water, in the groundwater system by infiltration, 20 liters is extracted every day. So of course, there is something which is totally unbalanced. Which means you may say, okay, the only solution is just to cut the water consumption, to cut it by to a very large extent that we don't face this situation. How to change this? But you cannot do it in one go. You cannot just ask the people to cut the water consumption from one day to the other. So in between, we have to create a compensation to go toward from the situation we are today towards another context. So we need to develop massive groundwater recharge to create time, okay? We have a problem that seawater will intrude, start to intrude in the system very soon. And we cannot have quick response at the looking at the emergency of the situation. We cannot develop the level of response which is required to address this problem of seawater intrusion if we want to cut the groundwater extraction. It is not possible. So we have to go towards massive groundwater recharge to create times, 5 years, 10 years in front of us, that we can find solutions and develop solutions. We have to rehabilitate, of course, the drainage system because that is where the natural or human-made, let's say, recharge is occurring. Afforestation is very much important because that is how you create time in your entire water system. And there is also a lot of things which are related to land activities. Are we in a rural area? Are we in an industrial area? Are we in an urban area? Which kind of solutions will be developed, which will change the scenario? But changing the scenario, if you say, okay, let's go for water saving practice in terms of agriculture, which of course will have a massive impact. Now, which kind of product you will generate out of your water saving practice? Is there a market for this water saving practice? You see what I mean? It means the entire mechanism has to be addressed. It is not only to press a button and to come to a straightforward solution. You have a lot of side issues behind. And then you have also to see how you generate the mechanism of changes. So you have to involve the state government and the central governments wherever it is necessary. You have also to go through research to understand better the mechanism, either socially, technically. And you have to involve all the population, of course, through either NGOs or whatever structure is really involved with the local population. So, of course, I will just go very quickly to a few examples of the programs we try to promote in this area. We know that, for example, we can create a massive recharge in a small sector of our perimeters, which will just create a time buffer. So there is a potential for that, but looking at the scale of the program, I'm speaking of several, it's about 150 million cubic meters of surface water to recharge in the system every year. 150 million cubic meters of water is not something you can do just in a click, so you have to work with the authorities to develop appropriate infrastructure, that is clear. You have to develop a lot of appropriate structure, either at urban level, at rural level, but also interweaving all the social aspects. There is a large potential in this area, but again, there it is something which can be seen in many places of India. There is about 13,000 cubic meters of water which is bring daily to the central pollution treatment, effluent treatment of Pondicherry. And this water may be very well used after appropriate treatment, LC treatment, for either recycling or for groundwater recharge, wherever it is necessary. In this particular context, you can see the map there. The sewage farm is here, the coast is here, so it is quite nearby the coast. And we can very well create an hydraulic barrier, block the seawater intrusion, at least for a time, in this particular sector by recharging this daily input of processed wastewater in the system. And actually, we spoke about there is some of our partners there. There is solutions also in terms of urbanization. We work actually on a program of 1,000 cubic meters of wastewater, which can be integrated in urban-like development. There is solutions for that. It may be on wastewater, it may be on recharge of groundwater, etc. There is solutions which may fit with urbanization as well. It is not only fitting with rural area. We have to see how to merge the things in the proper context. So, in the context we know that we have a risk of major seawater intrusion, very brutal, in fact, in a very short period of time. We have about 5 years in front of us, according to scientific study, to address the problem we face. And of course, the speed to which we will react to the situation will create a positive reaction or not. So we estimate that according to the speed to which we react to the situation, if we go fast, combining various solutions, I will not read, you can read it from where you are, we will bring major fast positive change or not. If we react quickly, we will have really a positive change. If we react less quickly, we will have mitigate change. And if we don't react at all, we will face a disaster. Basically, we estimate that within 15 years, we'll have about, in this area, we'll have about 700,000 people without access to fresh water. That is the situation. But of course, to bring changes means to work with a lot of organizations. So there is a lot of things which have been done anyway. Through the entire seminars, a lot of things will be presented. I will not go through the details, but we try to bring changes by mainly developing examples, which means it may not be the purpose of Auroville today, let's say, to bring changes at the scale which is necessary, that really we change totally the scenario. But what is possible to do from Auroville today, it is to bring solutions which are duplicable at whatever scale. And that is where I think we have really a good things to share with whomever is concerned. Things have been tested at various scales and can be duplicated. And I think where we have really a good, yes, something positive to share. So that's all what I have to say for today. Thank you. If you have any questions. I went short through the things because it's very complex if I went to details.